is, right? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Podcasting at the speed of the internet. This is the GeekCast with Aaron Crocco.
Hello to everybody out there in the podcast nation. Welcome to the GeekCast. I'm Aaron Crocco.
I'm Gozer.
This is the GeekCast, episode 359, recorded on Tuesday, August 13th, 2013. I'd like to welcome everybody listening in all across the world. Thank you so much for joining us today on another edition of the GeekCast. Mr. Gozer, how's it going, my friend?
Good. Took a little vacation with the family, and back ready to do the GeekCast.
That's right.
Yeah.
The geek packing, as we talked about in the last episode. But yeah, we have a cool show for you guys. We're going to be talking about some very cool Geek This Week apps and, maybe doing a little organizing. And of course, we have feedback. We like feedback from you guys. Some emails.
Yes.
So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, tech and gaming news. And, interesting news out of Microsoft land. Xbox One won't require the Kinect to work? What?
Yeah, I think with the new Xbox One, they're going to be putting in frozen waffles with it, too. So Microsoft, again, went back on something that they said would be required in order for the console to work. First, it was always having an internet connection.
Right.
And then it was having the Kinect always connected. And a lot of people, were in an uproar about that because it's, Big Brother and everything like that.
Absolutely.
I honestly wouldn't give a crap. Whatever. Like, they're just going to see me sitting on my couch for hours on end. So I'm not doing anything illegal.
I don't think it's that. I think it's a matter of they're going to use
advertising.
Yeah, it's advertising. Yeah. They could track if you're looking at it. They could track your mood. Yep. They could track who you are. It's like, Although it's very easy to solve that. You just put a little piece of tape over the camera.
Yep. There you go. But it's saying that you don't even have to have the Kinect plugged in order for it to work. But then they're saying like, don't be surprised if certain features in games don't work with it. And I honestly don't think anyone would give a crap about that. I think people would like the idea of, I don't even have to connect it, better than, I'm going to not be able to, assemble my gun in Ghost Recon or something like that. So I think that's definitely more important to people. But there are also no plans to sell a console without a Kinect. So the Kinect is part of the Xbox now, like a complete package. We also never really heard, we always heard rumors of an Xbox streaming device that doesn't play games, but that never came to fruition. I think that would have been cool, like another $100 device. But
I don't know. I don't think that's where the money is for Microsoft. It's like stay focused. Yeah. That's really the big thing.
Yeah. No. So that's pretty cool. I haven't used my Kinect in probably about 2 years. It's actually in the drawer here next to me since we moved. I just never hooked it up. And it's just like, I don't need to really, It doesn't really bother me. I don't know. I don't know what happened with Microsoft. They said all these things that, all these restrictions, and I guess they just really listened to the fans. And, it's good that they're doing this and they're going back on, what they said are the plans for, the new Xbox One, because the Xbox 360 was like so successful.
Right. Here's the thing. But it's all software. So it could be that they're just saying, okay, take out this feature, take out that feature, take out that feature. They sell all the Xboxes and software update puts it right back in. Trojan horse, my friend.
Yeah, that would be very, very deceitful.
But they're
saying like,
them?
I guess. Well, the Xbox gamers better pay attention then. But with Kinect games, the game, obviously, I think it'll come up like as a prompt or something. Please connect your Kinect in order to play this, sports rivals or whatever.
Right.
Obviously, because you need it for that. But other things, I really haven't found much of a use for it. The gestures was cool, navigating the dashboard, but that just kind of got old, and then I just stopped using it. the voice commands didn't work that great, but it looks like they're going to be really, really good.
Ha ha ha.
Hey, you're back.
Hey, sorry, that was my fault.
Okay. Sorry. Good. It wasn't my connection.
No, that was me. Sorry.
Yes. And just to tell the audience out there, I have a Wi-Fi extender that is actually in the home office now, and I got one for the bedroom too, because I tried my darndest to get the Airport Extreme to work with my Comcast router, and it did not. And I called Apple, and I called Comcast, and I just gave up. And I got these Belkin Wi-Fi extenders, and they seem to be doing the trick. Now, I'm also getting Ethernet cords run throughout the house, they're going to go into
really,
the Wi-Fi extenders.
That's
going to
really do it.
It'll really, yeah. So the electrician's coming on Friday to do that, and I bought like 400 feet of cable. Fairly cheap, too, on Amazon. I think it was like $8 for 100 feet.
Yeah,
I was like, Ethernet, buy four of these.
Yeah, Ethernet cord, like, in bulk is not expensive at all.
Yeah, yeah. So so that will be very, very exciting just to have, you know, good. And, you know, it's really, I did a speed test. It's like 3 or 4 megabits down, which is actually better
that is
than.
Puny compared to mine. Oh,
no,
you
and your
little three megabits. So yeah. cute.
But it's better than, you know, one or half a megabit.
Yeah,
but that's all wireless. So when we get the Ethernet going, it will be awesome. And I can't wait. So, yeah. So Microsoft, yeah. They got Xbox.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Like, part of me, you know, I was joking around about them adding these features back in, but part of me feels like they're relenting on so much so easily. So I just feel like, well, maybe they will do it, because if you think about it, with software updates now for the 360, you can't do anything unless you update. Like, when you turn on your Xbox and you log in, it's like, oh, you can't connect to Xbox Live until you do this, which means that you have essentially disabled the Xbox. So, you know, luckily they can't put those features into the 360. Well, I guess they could, but they're not going to. But with the Xbox One, who's to say 6 months, a year from now, when they've sold a crapload of them, that they don't do it. I mean, I really hope it doesn't come to that, but you never know. So
I'm just excited about the snappiness, because I've been playing my Vita, and it is so snappy just to go in and out of menus, in and out of games. And I said this before with the Wii U that I picked up a month ago, the Wii U is slow, like surprisingly slow. It's not snappy. The menus are not snappy. And I'm really looking forward to that. I want to walk into my home theater and say Xbox on, and it comes on. That I would love that. That'd be amazing.
That'd be cool. But of course that requires the Kinect to be on and to do all that crazy stuff.
Oh, then they're going to spy on me. Oh no, forget it.
Well, you know what?
if you
put the tape over it, the microphone should still work. So.
Well, then they're just going to hear me fart a lot. So I don't know. I'm going to have to cover the microphone up too.
So moving along here in the other tech and gaming news here, Gozer, how would you like to go from New York to California in like 2 hours?
That'd be cool.
That'd be
really cool. Less than half the time.
Yeah, it would be really, really cool. So I'm going to talk about this article so you can actually finish eating and not talk with your mouth full on the podcast.
Yeah.
So Elon Musk, who we all know as the headmaster of Tesla, the main man who's making electric cars really awesome, and who also does SpaceX, he has announced and revealed – well, he's announced it a while back, but he revealed his plans for the high-speed Hyperloop transportation system, which is just crazy cool. And it's like, man, this guy is totally like a Tony Stark type of character.
Rockstar.
Yeah, rockstar, super smart, has tons and tons and tons of money, doing innovative things that are actually coming to fruition. Like Tesla's a real thing, SpaceX, real thing. SpaceX, they said, is the first private company to dock with the International Space Station. So they're just not talking about putting things in space. Like, they're building the rockets and going.
Doing it.
It's crazy. Elon Musk has revealed the plans for the alpha version of the Hyperloop. And right now what they're saying is that you could travel from L.A. to San Francisco in less than a half hour. That's crazy.
Because that's an 8-hour drive. I actually did that drive in 30 minutes. Wouldn't you think this would be expensive at first?
Yeah. Well, what they're saying
– for many years, actually.
Yeah. They're saying that the estimated cost would be between $6 to $7.5 billion to build this. Now, look, that's a lot of money. But – and this is something that I had heard on the news this morning – President Obama is always talking about innovation in a lot of his speeches, and he talks about high-speed rail, how, you know, we got to have high-speed rail, and, you know, pretty essentially kind of like bullet trains or maglev type of trains. And there's a project that is going on, I think, in California also, which is kind of going to span this gap. And that right now is estimated at costing, I think, $65 billion.
Wow.
At this point, like, it had been estimated, I think, at $30 billion. Now it's at, like, $60 billion. And it's just like, okay, you know, look, we're talking a lot of money. $6 billion is nothing to, you know, shake your fist at. But at the same time, it's like, well, $6 billion? $70 billion. Let's think about
that. That's a lot of billions.
It's a lot of billions. So the Hyperloop will transport passengers in aluminum pods that are in tubes, traveling at 800 miles per hour.
Now, are you, like, laying on your back when you're in one of these things?
You're in a seat. The all the
schematics. Yeah, it's like a regular seat. I just picture laying on your back and just zipping through a tube.
Well, you know, that your stomach arrives a couple of minutes later. It's crazy. So on this conference call, Elon Musk said he expected a prototype unit might only take 3 or 4 years to complete, given the right project leader and including a couple of years to acclimate themselves to the project. And, you know, this is something that he would want to do, but he's kind of busy, you know, electrifying cars and putting things into space, you know, child's play.
I'm busy doing these other important things for humanity.
Exactly. So pretty much the Hyperloop, the way it works is that it's kind of like a vacuum tube that sucks the pod through it, and it works on a maglev system, so there's no friction. It's a depressurized tube, so there's no air also. And it's almost like the pneumatic tubes at the bank that shoot the money.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but you're mixing in maglev and all this other technology into it. So it's kind of like a decompressed vacuum system combined with maglev technology.
But there will be air for the people to breathe on this.
Yes.
Okay, yes. All right, just checking.
Yeah, and of course, all the pods would be linked so that there would never be an accident, because if a pod stopped working, you know, all the other ones would know about it and they would slow down and go to a stop. The pods themselves in the plans have wheels that can deploy and an engine on it that can then move it. So let's say the vacuum system stopped or whatever, you know, you can't, there's already thought into safeguards on, well, how do you not get stranded? And what do you have to what if you have to repressurize the whole system? So yeah, it's really, really awesome. I think it's like, this is innovative thinking. And it wouldn't require a huge amount of change to, like, dig underground or come up with new technology. Like, this is all existing stuff. You can check it out. The schematics are in a lot of places. I happen to link to it from The Verge. It's 50 pages of schematics and diagrams and kind of, like, baseline, like, flow charts and graphs and things. And yeah, I think it would be really, really cool. And I got to say that, you know, if this comes to fruition, and I hope it's more of a when it comes to fruition, I would love to ride this thing. Be like, oh. But
hopefully we'll be alive.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is something where if somebody with the money and the know-how and the drive to do it wanted to do it, you could. Or, you know, this would be, hey, look, you want to put people to work? You want to do something to help boost jobs and stuff like that? Think of the amount of jobs this would create.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it would be really cool. Obviously, you know, you're talking about taxpayer money. That's a whole nother politics thing. But aside from that, I think this could be really, really cool. And hopefully it'll come to fruition. Hey, look, maybe SpaceX will be a big thing. And then Elon Musk can say, all right, time to focus on Hyperloop. Hyperloop could also be the sequel to Looper.
Yeah. Now, is Elon's sister Daria involved with this at all?
Yeah, no, too.
That was totally a Daria Musk joke that only Geekcast listeners would get.
Yeah, two totally separate people.
Yeah. No, this is definitely cool. How would they test this thing, do you think? They put, like, monkeys on this thing and test it?
No.
Because you're talking, like, pressure and air pressure, and people's heads, like, could explode.
Yeah, I don't – well, if you think – cool. Well, it's no different than an airplane. That's all pressurized.
Yeah, but this sounds like a lot more advanced, obviously. Well,
you're not 40,000 feet off. Speed. You're not 40,000 feet off the ground, so that is a plus.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyhow, cool. Moving along to Geek This Week. And what are you talking about here? Mumra's Rebirth?
Yeah. I've actually been playing my PS Vita. I played a little bit over my vacation during the long, long drive. And you know the drive. You've done it. Well, yeah. You've done it to North Carolina, right?
South Carolina. I've done it.
Myrtle Beach?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it's long. And with a two-year-old, it's even longer. We did 5 hours a day. So 5 hours a day turned into like 9 hours a day, and it was really, really long. So, but that gave me a lot of time to play games. And two of those games I actually played on my PS Vita, which I really haven't played in months, were Muramasa Rebirth, which everyone is saying like, oh, it's the most beautiful game for Vita, and it probably is. But then I downloaded Dragon's Crown, which came out last week, and Dragon's Crown is even better looking than Muramasa Rebirth. And they're both kind of like old school side-scrolling, kind of like with a twist, with a little exploration, RPG elements. But Dragon's Crown is so like, oh, it's amazing. The music and the graphics and the art design of the game are just amazing. And they have these exaggerated fantasy characters, like you know, like you have in Lord of the Rings, you have the dwarf, like he's just like a huge, like really short guy but really huge, his muscles are bigger than his head.
Yeah.
You have like a huge knight guy, you have like a female mage with like the biggest boobs you could ever see, and it's just everything is exaggerated, and I don't know, the people are kind of weird looking, but it's really, really cool to look at. You know, it's a beat 'em up with RPG elements is really what it is. So that's pretty cool. And it's great on the Vita. It looks great on the Vita. You can also get it on PS3 and Steam, I think. But I also, I actually didn't download it. DuckTales Remastered came out today. Exactly. That's on the Wii U, the PS3, and that's also on Steam, I think.
Nice.
But yeah, I actually didn't download that and play it yet. But the review scores are like, you know, it's a good game. It's not great, but it's good. It's getting like sixes and sevens.
Well, you're talking about an NES game in a PlayStation Xbox world. You know, it's like you gotta look at it as you're playing a retro game, not a new game.
Yeah, it's nostalgia, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, a lot of the reviewers said, you know, DuckTales was, it's probably like, okay, well, you had all these Disney games, and that's probably the best Disney game, you know, definitely on the NES, because a lot of cartoons that became games or definitely movies that became games were just terrible.
Right.
So that's probably one of the best. So I'll probably download it. It's $15. I never even really played the first one.
I bought it for NES.
Yeah, you said that when you got your NES set up. But I bought it, I think, like a year ago for like $10 at this game store. There's like a moon base or something. That's all I really remember about it.
It has a very similar setup to Mega Man. I played it for about 10 minutes, and then I wanted to play something else, and I don't have the book for it. I really need, and you can get them all online, though. What I really need to do is I need to download the book and print it out. I know, printing it out, or at least put it on my iPad, so then I have a reference on how to play the game. You know, it's a game where you can kind of figure it out, but when I played games, especially like NES games, I really liked to read the manual and look through and learn how to play it. It just made it a lot easier. A lot of games now are kind of just, you can pick them up and go, but I think NES games...
Well, they have tutorials too, and I'm in the beginning of games.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. It's
also
like,
games didn't have that.
You know, yeah, exactly. It wasn't like, oh, here's the walkthrough mode of how to operate your gun and all, you know, they kind of get you through the basic stuff. DuckTales and all these games didn't have that, so...
Yeah. Yeah. So, and lastly, just organizing my theater room, getting the carpet put in on Thursday. Yay. Woo! So once that's in, I will start putting the AV equipment up. I'm going to, my uncle's going to come over. He's pretty good, carpenter type thing, and, build an enclosure for the, projector and, house that. And, just use the same, pretty much the same setup I had in the old place. You know, use that, you know, that stacked thing that I had with the shelves that I put all my AV equipment on. There's a nice little corner in the new theater room for that. And then just put the speakers up and just get going. And we're going to bring the bigger couch down into the basement, which is awesome. And I just can't wait to use it.
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a room in your house when you moved in that you just didn't use for like months?
Yeah, the room that I podcast in.
Yeah, this one, yeah.
Once the desk and the computer got set up, it was kind of like, yeah, and I showed this to you before. It's like the whole room was just the boxes. Yeah. And yep. Finally, my wife, I think this was in the spring, actually. She was just like, can we just unpack this room? Like, seriously, this is the only...
You just gotta do it.
Like, can we just unpack this room? I was like, I guess. So,
dude, and like, I think I have more stuff than you. I probably have more stuff than you. No, I do, because I have more action figures than you do. But it's just like, I just went in the basement and I just took boxes of action figures and wires and controllers and consoles, and I brought them out. And then once the carpet's in, I'll just put them all in the closets, because there's four closets in the room too.
There you go.
And then everything will be nice and organized. And then we can get going. Jeez, I need my man cave back.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to get my man cave started. Hopefully next year I can get the basement started with all of that. Tax return providing.
Nice.
Anyhow, so for my geek this week, this is a little preliminary because I've only started it on Monday, but running is what I'm geeking out to. Not necessarily like sprinting or anything.
That's not geeky. That's like athlete geeky.
That's like whatever. So years ago, probably like 4 years ago, I actually spent almost an entire year running. And, it was more like, running is a little misleading. I was jogging and doing a little bit of running and sprinting, and it was to get fit, lose some weight, and just something good for the heart. So, what I did back then was I bought these awesome Nike shoes, the Lunar Trainers, because they are part of the Nike Plus workout system. So you get the little sensor. It was like $20. You put it in your shoe, and your iPhone would have the app already, and it would track your run. So it would do your pace and your time and your distance and all
you
of that.
You have the
stuff.
iPhone armband too?
I just have a regular, I think it's a Belkin armband or something. I don't know. I don't need anything special. So actually think it's an iPod armband. It's like, my iPhone fits in there, so I'm putting it in. So I did that for probably about 9 or 10 months. And it was treadmill running. I really enjoyed it. Fell off the wagon. Happens to everyone. And so, for the past few weeks, I've thought about running again. And Monday, I set my alarm early and I went out. So,
In the morning.
In the morning. Well, because it's one of those things. If I don't do it when I first roll out of bed, it ain't getting done.
Yeah. Bottom line. Get it over with.
I'm too exhausted at night. So, obviously, there's a lot of apps for this. And the two that obviously get a lot of the publicity, I guess, or that most people use is Runkeeper and as I said, Nike Plus. So the cool thing about this is that at times Nike and Runkeeper had promotions where the apps were free at some point. So it's I'm one of those people that if I see an app is free and it's an app I think I might want in the future, even if I don't want it now, I'll download it. And then I'll erase it from my phone, because you get to re-download it for free because it's linked to your account. So I went on to the app store, and sure enough, Runkeeper and the Nike Plus application were both there. Now, there's a built-in Nike Plus application on the iPhone that works with the sensor. There's also a Nike Plus running app that is a lot like Runkeeper. It uses GPS and it maps your run, and you don't need the sensor. I still have the same sneakers, but I just didn't want to futz with the sensor because it's like, well, I have an app already that will track everything because it uses GPS. But aside from that, it's the same as the built-in app. Runkeeper is very cool. It does a lot of the same stuff as Nike Plus. It will
That's what Alan uses, right? Runkeeper?
Yeah, Alan uses Runkeeper. For you guys who listened to the show a long time, Alan Schneider, who's co-hosted, he uses Runkeeper a lot. And, they do the same things. It will tell you your pace and all this stuff and information at certain intervals. You can do a timed run. You can do a distance run. The interesting thing is that Runkeeper tries to upsell you a lot. I have the app that was pay for, what I got for free, but then they're like, if you want to see more statistics, you need to either buy a monthly subscription or a yearly subscription, which it was like $3 a month or like $20 for the year or something like that. They have preset workouts that are designed by doctors and professional trainers and all that, and those are like really expensive. They're like $20 a workout. So if you wanted to do like a training for a 5K, you can buy that workout routine and it would go through it. So that's the only thing I don't like. It's like, well, you know, I wanted to do all this good stuff, but at the same time, I don't need a special plan, you know, but I do like the in-depth, you know. It's like, I'm a data nerd. I like to see all the data and charts and all that. So I don't know if I'm going to use Runkeeper or Nike Plus right now. Well, at least for the run I did on yesterday and the run I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm using both, which is cool that you can actually use both. And so I turn on Songza because Songza is like the biggest music thing I'm loving right now. And then I go into Nike Plus, I start a run, I go into Runkeeper and start a run. Here's the kicker though. Runkeeper integrates with my Pebble watch automatically.
Easy to just run and look.
Yeah, and this is the crazy thing about it. You don't have to do anything. When you start your run in Runkeeper, it has a little watch icon on the top left corner. So when you hit start run, it automatically, you don't have to install an app or set anything up in advance. As long as your Pebble has a Bluetooth connection to your watch or to your phone already, which it should, all of a sudden the watch face goes away and it changes to a Runkeeper app that you didn't have to pre-install. So it must be like baked into the firmware. And it tells you your time, your distance, and your pace, all communicating with the app. And you can pause the run also by hitting the center button on the right side. So that was cool, because while the Nike system will talk to me at certain intervals and tell me my stats, it was cool that I can be like, okay, well, how much time do I have left? How much longer do I have to go? Because I'm doing a timed run and I look at my watch and it has everything there. So I'm kind of figuring out which is the better way to go, because I like both of them for different reasons. But I also know using both simultaneously is kind of a big pain in the ass. So I don't know which I'm going to stick with. Runkeeper's Pebble integration is like a real killer feature there. So
I have a Pebble, I mean,
I know, but the Nike Plus, it's like I've been using it, you know, I haven't ran in years, but at the same time it has all of my data already.
One's your wife, one's your mistress, I don't know, you gotta make a choice.
Exactly. So for now, you know, I'm using both, but it's just cool that you have all these apps that, again, for data nerds, it's like it gives you all these stats and all this information you can compare and just do all this cool stuff. So yeah, that's what I'm geeking out to. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, did 2 miles in a half hour on the first day. So yeah, not too bad. Not too bad for somebody who hasn't ran in years.
Yeah, I probably have more years on you not running, but I always thought about it and I'm just like, well, I'm not gonna get up in the morning because I'm just not a morning person. If I would run, it would be like after dinner, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. But I just don't. I don't know.
I am way too exhausted. I'm like, you're lucky I get to do the podcast at this time of night. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
So, but, all right. We got feedback and items of note, and we have 2 emails from Dawson. Do you want to take these?
From Dawson. Yeah, I'll take them. Hold on a second. Pulling up YouTube. And so Dawson, he's got 2 emails, and and getting here, and okay. Hello, guys. Today is most likely the best day of my life. The me and my mom picked up our beautiful iMac. I will be wearing my Apple hat I got from the company store at Apple HQ in Cupertino. Still pissed we didn't stop there. We stopped at Hertz Castle when we did the drive to LA to San Francisco, but we didn't stop, you know. And I know you're like bugging me about it. Like, oh, you're gonna go. And my wife's like, well, what's there? They just build them there. Can you like see anything?
They don't
like,
build yeah, but them it's there.
You know, so. well, they come up with everything there. But they're built in China. Gozer, I will be making a fart app for your Nexus 7. There we go. That took a while. A fart app for the Nexus 7 using a tool called Mobi One. Always love the show. Yes, I will definitely use your fart app, Dawson. Again from Dawson. Hello guys. I'm gonna pause that because that is kind of annoying. Now I know how you feel. Hello guys, I'm writing this from my brand new 21.5-inch iMac. The Mac is amazing. I can't believe all I've been missing out on with a Windows PC. Yes, yeah. Finally. I converted in 2006 and probably will never go back. Although I did like my little netbook for the year that I had it. I did enjoy it.
And then the iPad came out and all. was saved.
yes, destroyed netbooks. Can you even get netbooks anymore? Probably, right?
And it's so funny because like I was jonesing for one so bad.
I know you were. I remember that. Yeah. He says he also has decided not to get Anuya due to the fact that he can AirPlay games, mainly Minecraft, to the Apple TV 10 feet away from the Mac. Yes, AirPlay is definitely awesome.
Yeah.
I remember I made a movie, Aaron, when you came over a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and I AirPlayed it from my Mac right on the TV, and it's awesome. Plus, I can spend that $100 on better things, like hopefully an iPhone 5S. I am keeping the new Nexus 7 from my dad because he's already thinking of switching from his 4S to the S4. I think I have held him off from getting an S4 because of the rumored fingerprint scanner in the next iPhone. Always love the show.
Not
I know.
What
do you think about that fingerprint scanner?
Bonk. Total bonk. Fingerprints, I've never really used one. From what I know, I've heard that they don't work very well. But I'm just like, every time you want to unlock your phone, you're going to slide your thumb on the home button.
Yeah.
Hold on. Like it's not going to be on the screen. This is the thing, and he doesn't say Dawson doesn't say this.
Oh, on the home button?
Yeah, like news outlets of people fingerprint scanner on the screen, and all I'm thinking of, it's a screen. It doesn't read things. It displays things. Like it's not like just because it's a touchscreen doesn't mean
it's not
read
like
your,
a copier.
Yeah, it's like it can't read your fingerprints. I'm like, what are you talking about? So the rumor is that it's in the home button, that they're going to have a special sapphire layer over the home button that'll do fingerprint scan. I'm like, this is a load of crap. Like I'm sorry that I can't imagine a fingerprint reader on a phone. I will say that aside from having a 4-digit PIN, putting in a passcode into a phone is not really practical. And I know Apple allows that. But who's going to sit there and type a passcode or a passphrase every time you want to unlock your phone? And I know on Android, you can kind of do the pattern, but that's easily bypassed also, because if you look at the phone on an angle, you can kind of see the line that.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because I was on vacation for a week and I don't usually have the pattern on my Nexus 7.
Right.
But I figured, hey, let me put this on because I'll be sitting at the pool and if someone steals it or whatever.
Right.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, I better smush my finger all over this thing because they're going to see my pattern. So that's what I did. I just put all different kinds of patterns.
I think it's bunk, but according to the rumors, September 10th is when we're going to find out. So less than a month away, people.
Wow.
Yeah, and
definitely upgrading. You're definitely upgrading.
Yeah, not even a question.
I'm on the fence.
Not even a question.
I'm on the fence.
Sprint.
Because it seems like, it's bye-bye, 2 years have passed already.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Sprint.
Well, yeah, it's your carrier. I mean, I
no,
understand
it's not
that.
Even the carrier. I upgraded to the iPhone 3GS. When I had the original iPhone, I upgrade because I can. That's really what it comes down to. This is part of ditching Sprint, you know, their god awful data speeds. It's actually funny. I went to a concert with Alan last week, and we're sitting inside the venue. You know, we're just looking at our phones. We're showing each other stuff.
Did he have a shirt off?
No, but we do a speed test, and he got, I think, like 12 or 13 megabits down. And he's like, oh, do a speed test on yours. The test never completed. That's how awful my signal was. And I had 5 bars. That's how awful the data was. I'm sure if you called me, it would have been nice and crystal clear. And he is T-Mobile. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to take the second one too, because this one's about me too, not you.
hey guys,
since Gozer recently has had a big, has become a big Avengers fan, I thought I would recommend to him the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is available on Netflix. Yeah, Netflix, like I said in the past, has a lot of good superhero cartoons. I really, really enjoyed the DC Doom, which really talked about Batman being kind of like the most powerful superhero, most dangerous, the smartest, definitely, because he's like a detective, but really kind of keeping Superman at bay. And that's like a really, really cool idea. And I'm keeping up with the Injustice comics, which goes along with the video game, or vice versa. And that really deals with, like, Superman is so powerful, Batman has
100 plans how to deal with him. And thus he almost becomes shunned by the rest of the Justice League. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, the Avengers stuff, I think I watched one cartoon. I don't remember what it was called, but Pym was in it. And I kind of enjoyed that. And they had a Black Panther, I think, was in the second one. But yeah, I'll definitely check this out. And I'm really enjoying Netflix. You know, they really have a lot of good stuff. But he goes on to say, I watched this show last summer before Avengers came out with my wife, who is not much, it was not into this stuff at all. And the both of us enjoyed it very much. It's a little slow in the beginning with the intro of each hero, and then the series really picks up as soon as the Avengers unite. Each season has 20 plus episodes. Oh yeah, this is a TV show. I'm talking about it like it's a movie. 20 plus episodes, and like Doctor Who, the finale connect all the previous episodes together, which is amazing. Episodes are around 20 minutes each, which is great too. I like that. I like little bite size, you know, 20 minutes. The second season covers Ultron, so it's good to know the backstory of it. Unfortunately, they didn't renew it for the third season, which is a bummer. But that's still pretty cool. They got two. I enjoyed Avengers a lot more after watching it. Oh, that's interesting. Keep up the good work. And this is Zitter, Zitter's app, I think, who I have on my PSN and Xbox Live. Yeah, I will definitely check this out. I read over the vacation, I read Age of Ultron, which I probably was disappointed with because Ultron's not even in it. He's like, he's at the end. And it's like, okay, I expected this big thing about Ultron. And I heard kind of, you know, people say, it's all right. It's not great or anything. But again, this is not going to be what Avengers 2 is going to be based on. It's going to be a new story with Ultron. But I've heard it's going to be Jarvis from, you know, Iron Man goes, you know, ballistic and maybe creates Ultron. And that's how it's going to be. It's going to involve Tony Stark, basically, in Avengers 2. And I cannot wait because, you know, Joss Whedon's doing the second one. I'm pretty sure he's doing the third one, too. And Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Tony Stark forever, it sounds like. So that's awesome.
Kind of like Hugh Jackman. He's been Wolverine now for like 12
years. Yeah. And I heard mixed things about the new Wolverine movie. I'm not going to run out and see it in the theater. I'll definitely rent it. But I heard it was just like, it's all right. Not bad, not great. So, I don't know. Yeah. But, excellent. Yeah, superheroes. Cool.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, guys. Well, that's about going to do it for this episode of the Geekcast, episode 359. I'd like to thank everybody for listening and subscribing. We forgot to mention it last episode, and I ended up tweeting it just so you guys knew we were off because Gozer was going on vacation, although kind of obvious based on all the packing you talked about. I am also going on vacation next week, so there will be no show next week. So we will see you in 2 weeks for episode 360, the Xbox 360 edition. Maybe we'll have to maybe we'll have to call it that. We'll have to come up with like
we'll have to do a little retrospective.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to contact us, all the information's on the website at geekcastonline.com. On Twitter, I am Aaron Crocco, and also the Geekcast.
Those are 360.
Geekcast@gmail.com, 206-350-5000 is the voicemail line. And we'll see you next time for episode Xbox 360. Take it easy, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.